Welcome to AP That's It, where we share our experience as first-generation Haitian-American through our different perspective on our culture while creating a safe space. I'm Elisa Fania.
I'm Soraya. Welcome back from our two-week hiatus, maybe
break.
We're not sure how many weeks, but we're back. Suck that, Elisa.
I don't know. I had an interesting breakthrough in therapy today.
That's good.
It's from something that happened in the past that didn't know that happened in the past or completely forgot about it. And it, like, connected to something when it comes to, like, me losing weight, and that was fascinating. There was tears. So now I have to come up with a solution. But other than that, this past 2 weeks have been very hard. And guess what? I survived.
It's just been a lot of just trying to figure out what life looks like in terms of time and how to balance my time with people, without people. It's been a lot. We haven't seen each other in a while.
For 2 seconds.
was literally like just trying to check a checkbox, just like, okay, I gotta get Benji his gift. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. It just seems like there's a lot of that happening, and I talked to my therapist about that. So it's just kind of like taking the expectations off of myself by explaining to others, like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I gotta do. I'm focused also on trying to build something with someone in my life right now.
You've mentioned your partner a few times.
I don't know how I refer to him.
Your partner. Just say your partner.
I like in the other podcasts, they're like, my boo, my man. But I'm like, that's weird. So
you say your regular.
He's my main.
Your main.
So it's just kind of trying to balance all of that. And I mean, you were here. I gotta do this for grandma, and I gotta... My mom's calling to make sure I did this for grandma, and I gotta do this for my mom, and I gotta do this for them.
Welcome being back home.
Yeah, no, it's not for me.
That's another thing I've been discussing with my therapist, is we're having system. First of all, a lot of, for me personally, my goals are never reached because I don't have systems in place. And I think Stacey Abrams said that in one of her TED Talks. She says one of the reasons why it's really difficult for people to get things done is that they don't have the systems in place to get to the goal. So I was talking to my therapist about that last week. So this past week, I've been slowly putting a system in place because, girl, you just started and I'm telling you to get out. I need to get out. As appreciative and like lovely as it, the safety of knowing that you can come back home, which is beautiful, and I honor and I'm super grateful. But for my growth,
sanity,
I need to like remove... And for everybody's growth, because I think that there's a lot of just tension, and I am ready for this vacation. You have no idea. And I'm like, and I was like talking to my friend about it, and I was just like, though I'm spending 9 days with my cousins, the house is so big enough and we have space that we don't need to be on top of each other. We have the beach. We have the outside area. There's a kitchen. Somebody's going to be doing things in their room. A lot of people, as you know, is going to be working. So then most of the time, people are just going to be in one space. And then everybody else is going to do their own thing.
Yeah.
So I just... And I just want to read... I really just want to read 2 books.
Oh my God, that's crazy. I almost bought 2 books. And I only bought just one. Because I was like, girl, you know you can't read 2 books in a week. So
I'm getting through halfway through the Obama book because it's a textbook and it's ridiculous. And then I'm going to finish the the Avatar Kyoshi book that I downloaded on my phone.
Nice.
I was like, you know what? Let's do this one. And then I'm going to have therapy on the beach. I don't know how we're going to do that, but yes. But this is what, 3 weeks away? 2 weeks away?
Yes, 3 weeks. I still have to request a day or two off. I don't know how to do that because I don't really understand the structure of my job. But we'll figure that out. That's not today's problem. So this week and in the previous weeks, the people have been talking, Conti Muño, and they've been saying that pretty much what everyone's been talking about is the Chauvin trial. And Everyone knows the verdict. And our aunt made a very good point, which I actually mentioned to my main yesterday when the verdict came through.
I was like, this is great and all, but
it's like, I look at it as more of a case to reference. I don't look at it as like anything changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just now there's a reference point. And it's interesting that she said that, because I was like, oh, I could be a lawyer. But she also brought up the fact that appeals can be...
That was my point. I was like, this is great, but one, he's not going to be in jail for very long.
Yeah.
Two, it's going to be appealed, which I don't think it's going to be appealed. I think he's going to serve time.
Yeah.
But it's going to be at the time at like a Bernie Madoff jail facility. Because Bernie Madoff is living his life still making shit ton of money in jail. And he's in prison. So
I haven't followed Bernie Madoff's story. I know he was like
a scammer that stole everybody's money in the 90s, like 90s to 2000.
Okay.
And he, millions, like people's like 401k, retirement, savings.
I believe it.
All of that.
Yeah.
That's because he's a cop. I don't think that they're going to put him in general population.
I mean, I really don't know, and not that I don't care, but it's like those details I have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's not. It was nice, you know. There was no riots here.
There weren't allowed. There was no one allowed.
Oh yes, the H1. Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about. Florida's horrible. So I am legit planning on moving. I can't do this.
I believe you.
This is really bad. Like, I think the only benefit of Florida, well, there's several, but the fact is that we don't have state tax. We have one tax, and there's an ocean, and there's like nature preserves and things like that. There's some beauty, like the natural beauty of Florida makes
it's like
Florida
the
amazing.
Caribbean of the U.S.
But the whiteness, because we are in the South, and the whiteness that's over, because there's if anybody has a chance, just look up stupid Florida laws. Let me pull up stupid Florida laws. They're stupid. I remember there was one that you can't the program that we did last year, like being black. So it was like sleeping while black, eating while black, walking while black. I did the walking while black one. And they all base these, the theories in Tallahassee and how insane the laws are. So you can have a crossing guard. If the crossing guard is like 10 feet away, you can walk in the middle. But if you're not like 10 feet from the crossing guard, the police can pull you over and then cite you for jaywalking. And then at the same time for jaywalking, can then plant something on you to put you in jail.
Yeah, that's dirty cop stuff. And the thing about that is, you can get a ticket for jaywalking, right? And in neighborhoods where it's poorly planned or not maintained or things of that nature, there's not a lot of crosswalks, there's not a lot of pedestrian-friendly systems, like you said. So people are out here crossing when they need to. So, guess who's going to get the tickets? The people that live in those neighborhoods, which are predominantly black or minority neighborhoods. So,
let me tell you something stupid from Florida. In the state of Florida, a special law prohibits unmarried women from parachuting on Sunday, or she shall risk arrest, fine, or jailing.
Don't parachute on Sunday, Lisa.
The fuck?
Don't do it. Just don't do it.
In Miami Beach, it's illegal to sell oranges on the sidewalk on Miami Beach.
You know what's funny? Is that law probably came from somewhere.
In the state of Florida, skateboarding without a license is legal. You need a skateboard really? For license? This is how insane Florida...
So when kids skateboard, they're doing a legal thing? There's a skate park in downtown Miami right next to the police station.
Maybe because it's a park. They're not skating on the...
In the right-of-way? In the public
The area. Same parking fee for vehicles must be paid for elephant tied to parking meters.
I don't know what that means.
Stupid. What? The one that's like really dumb, which is really like, this is probably a little like whatever, a little sexual, but like I remember seeing one. Never mind, I can't think of it offhand anymore.
Virginia has some weird ones.
The South is stupid.
Alcohol. Like it's weird. I remember when I lived there, there were like two or three weird ones that we couldn't do, and I was like, well, it's a good thing I'm not gonna be here for long. Not that, you know. I was trying to do those things, but it was something like basic. What else did you just read? You just made up things.
In Florida, it's illegal for men to wear strapless gowns in public. Florida's stupid. We were raised here, and I'm just like,
why?
And I was talking to my therapist about that, because I'm just like, yo, I'm doing amazing work, and we're building community, and I think it's this next generation that really are not going to go into the way that we, like, our two generations has grown up. But the H1, going back to the point, this H1 law bill that was passed, so it's illegal to protest in Florida now. It's illegal to congregate, and if you are caught and you are the leader, it's a third degree felony. And then, and there's so many people that I have known and met who are part of these organizations that are stepping down.
Yeah.
Because they, like, it's just their lives are threatened. Because now, based off of the George Floyd protests, if your face was not covered, they're looking for you. And so now, since Florida passed it, all these other Republican-ass states are now having, like you said, with the Chauvin case, a structure on how to be able to pass these laws.
It just feels like if you're in front, like, if they talk about, oh, you're taking away our rights, this is exactly what, like, the right to protest or to speak. The right to protest is in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how is that? Yeah, I saw that there's some organizations that are suing.
Yeah.
That's suing to be able to figure this out. But it's just, this is ridiculous. And then all these, like, after the Chauvin trial and all that, and these killings that have been coming out, and I think this is all on purpose. And then this is the reason I'm saying I don't want to be here in July. Because all these mass shootings that are taking place
are going to happen in July, and Rolling Loud is what you're
Rolling Loud is going to be insane. First of all, I know it's just be a whole bunch of white people, but it's the streets. That's where the beef happens, is on the streets.
Yeah, you stay ass at home. It sucks. I feel you, girl. I feel you 100%. She is so upset.
She's not on the beach.
That's real. And
niggas are on the beach.
We'll find an escape. We will.
Yeah, I'm definitely leaving Florida during that weekend. It's a 3-day festival. Though I know it's at the Hard Rock, it's a 3-day festival. And I still don't even understand how this is happening.
Because it's Florida.
Like,
Atlanta, it was either going to be in Atlanta or Florida. Those are the two open states. So
are, like, do people need to be vaccinated to go? Or do we need, like, a COVID test?
Probably going to say wear a mask. But are they going to enforce it? We don't know. Who cares?
I do have a fun thing that I do want to happen in June. Robert Glasser, I don't know if you know who that is. He's a jazz artist. Is going to be playing at the Banshaw. And I'm excited for that. Do you know when we go, where we go to Lashley Mitchier? And there's like a little concert venue. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in there. It's an outside concert. Cool. Oh, I'm like waiting for a little funds to come in my pocket so I can tap into that and get like two tickets. Because it's by, the really lovely thing about the Banshaw that I love is that they separate you. And there's a security guard being like, Put your mask on. Because I was told to do that. Because I was trying to talk to somebody and I was screaming and there was music playing. And I was just like, he's like, put your mask on. And I'm like, okay, I see you. Yes, I'll do that.
Respect that.
Yes. Anything fun happen?
Yes, I'm going to add some good news. LeVar Burton is announced as the next guest host of Jeopardy!
Oh, yay, finally. We were talking about
guest host, yeah.
Oh, so they're trying him out. He's trying him out because, what's his name? Ken Stevens? Alex Trebek.
I know, but...
Oh, and DMX.
That was the other one. That one wasn't positive, but DMX passed.
And Black Rob, too.
Black Rob did pass as well. There's a lot of just death and grieving in this time.
Okay, so let me put a manifestation.
For death?
No. This is something positive. Manifestation. So those Twitter streets were saying, because Beyonce was posting, and she was posting in Vegas, that Beyonce may have a Vegas residency that may be announced soon. So, you know, if it's true,
mm-hmm.
that's what the streets are saying. I wasn't the first one to say it, but I'm trying to, because if that's the case, I will do my best to see a ticket for the residency of Beyonce in Vegas.
That'd be cool. That'd probably be the only reason I'd be in Vegas, because Vegas doesn't attract me. Like,
there is really, really amazing restaurants in Vegas, though.
Food, yeah. Okay, you can live with that, but everything else is
same. And beautiful homes.
Sure.
Because it's like the desert, so you have like really cool. I've been really enjoying 50th century designs, and a lot of like homes in Nevada. Trying to figure out where Vegas was. they have a lot of that. It's like Palm Springs type. Era. Thank you.
I hear you. Let's see.
We have Chloe singing angelically to people, you know.
Yeah, that's just what she does every day. So, you know, she's just an angel here on earth, blessing us with her presence, to be honest. I just want to say the person's name. Micaiah Bryant was the girl who was killed. So I just wanted to say her name. And I really just... You know what? This song is so relevant right now.
What song? Ethan, what's with?
Oh, you can't hear it. Hold on. How am I on my...
I don't know if you know your headphone is in your ear.
It is, because I was listening to the computer.
Okay.
But now...
I'm just making sure. Maybe you got like...
Ooh. I wanna leave. Can you be this is very... I'm out on the street by the corner store. You know the one on 15. Got a bright shirt on, so easy to see. I've been down here stranded in Destiny. I can't reach my planet, but I need to leave. You should see these people.
She's like jamming over here.
How they treat each other. It's hard to conceive of who Earth is. Yeah, I'm only. Yes, and that is our sentiment for the Conzi Munio. Moving on to our main topic. Please get that girl record deal. I need to find out what her name is, because that song is so relevant. Nikki Aaliyah. Like.
Oh. I don't know if we should say this, but I think it's really cool. Steve Urkel has a brand of...
The actor who plays Steve Urkel?
Yes. What's his name?
Khalil.
Jaleel White.
Jaleel thing.
Jaleel White has a branding of marijuana called Steve Urkel. Hmm. And Snoop Dogg was endorsing it.
Oh, how relevant for 420.
It was before that, but it was really cute because, like, this is the real.
Kiss the family man and less. It was. Kiss the family man and less when I was more nerdful. Yeah, but now I'm still fond of. And everything I do is everything that they fond of. Kiss the family man.
It's so cute, and I just love it.
You should do Urkel growing up, but that would still be weird. Well, that was a nice little note to end on.
Urkel. Go get your Urkel weed, guys. And if you're in California, all the legal states.
Yeah. Well, in our main topic, we're going to talk about the main. We're going to talk about, basically, as first generation Haitian Americans, growing up, we didn't really see many of us in the mainstream. There were people that, you know, we kind of tapped into, whether maybe our aunts and uncles might have shown us them, or we kind of stumbled into them. But there weren't that many. And so Lisa and I were doing some research before the show, and we found some that we didn't even know were Haitian. So we kind of want to go through and then kind of compare now, like, what kids now as first-generation Haitian Americans, or just Haitian Americans in general, how that mainstream Haitian American population has grown. And it's, like, more acceptable and exotic and fun to be Haitian.
Exotic? And that's the term people use, exotic?
I say exotic because that's what people are gonna... I guess that's how it'll be classified. Like, ooh, you're Caribbean, you're spicy, you're different.
Maybe.
Maybe. So I think the first one, we grew up knowing this person was Haitian, was Wyclef. That was like...
Oh, the Fugees. So like, it was Wyclef and
Pras.
It was
all the Fugees that was Haitian, but no. It wasn't all, because Lauryn Hill, she wasn't part of the Fugees. She was part of the Fugees, mm-hmm. but she also had her own thing. And I thought she was Haitian for a long time. So I was like, that's my girl.
Yeah.
But she's Haitian by association.
Because of Wyclef and, what's his name?
Pras.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. They were like, probably one of the first.
He was the openly.
Like, accepted Haitian.
Yeah. Because one of just like being hip hop. Nobody in Tribe was Haitian?
Tribe Quest.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really listen to Tribe Quest growing up. I listened to them more, like, in my recent, like, in 20s. Maybe my teens.
But, yeah, I think because of, like, where hip-hop was, it was really cool for Wyclef to come out, but he wasn't... They were very active in it. And saying that they were Haitian, because if you listen to the Fugitive, I think was the album was called. I'm not too sure, but it really expressed like one their sentiment of what they brought to hip hop, and then like they were then able to be like, yo, Haitian, and go into like Creole and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely, and it was kind of a reference point where it was like. It's cool. It's okay to be Haitian because this guy's Haitian and he's popular and he's successful. If you go back to one of our episodes, which we're probably going to do again, growing up, we were never, like, explicitly proud of being Haitian. We would try to really lean in on our Dominican side, which is very small a percentage, if any.
Or we would be Spaniard because we have Spaniard in our blood.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, let's pick everything that's not Haitian, because mm-hmm. it just had such a bad connotation, such a bad stereotype.
Especially growing here up in Miami.
Yeah, and, you know, it was cooler to be everything else but Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
And, like we said, it took us learning about our culture and learning about successful people in our culture and just the resilience of our nation to really gain this pride that we now have and that we're super grateful for. So Wyclef was a huge one that I'd be like, yeah, Wyclef is cool, so we're good. I remember seeing Garcelle Bouvier. On the Jamie Foxx show. She's super pretty.
Well, I met her in Coming to America. She was one of the flower girls in Coming to America.
Saw her in Coming to America. I was like, oh my god, you met her.
I think I have met her.
Maybe. I mean,
in the past. Because I met Tommy from Martin. He was getting shoes at the SW.
Hmm.
And we're just like, my uncle's like from New York. He's like, isn't that Tommy? And I was like, yeah. He's like, let me take a picture with him. I met Tommy twice. And then I was at this school program and he came. He was a motivational speaker.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Rest in peace, Tommy.
Tommy, yeah. So you met her in Coming to America. She was one of the flower... Was she one of, like, the servants in the...
Yeah, she was the one that was throwing the flowers on the ground when Hakeem, I think was his name, was, like, out of the shower and stuff like that.
Yeah. She was just always so pretty. Like, I remember just being like,
magnificently, wow. Like, gorgeous. Like, she is gorgeous.
And I was like, Haitians can be pretty. Yeah, like, how cool. It's so sad, though, that that's kind of, like, how I had to view it, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely a positive role model. And she wasn't, like, or she still isn't a celebrity that's, like, in terms of, like, messy and everywhere. And
messy, no, but she was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which, one, she was the first ever Black person on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and two, those women did not know, because she was shady boots and she would like say things and I loved it, but like the other girls would be like, the only one that really enjoyed her was that girl's name? I can't even think of people's name right now. Beverly, the blonde Hills. One,
they're all blonde in Beverly,
but the one that like persona something, I can't think of her name. The one that persons Black women a lot. She has, like, a stage name.
I haven't watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in a very long time, so I don't remember. Does she have the spinoff? Not her.
Damn.
But yeah, so
Erica Jane. Her and Erica Jane was fun, and then there's Lisa Renee, Lisa.
I can't. Don't give them attention.
I don't even know what their name, but it was fun to watch her there. And a lot of people from, like, a lot of Black people are watching. And she really talked about her Haitian roots. She had two beautiful children.
I think she was on, like, one of those house shows where she gave a tour of her house. And then I think you saw her kids running in the bag. And I was like, oh, my God, she's so awesome. She has a cute little hat. Like,
it's really funny because whenever you see these people, like, especially Orange County, too, like, these houses where you think that they're super massive. But they're really not.
Yeah.
Because her house was from, it's a huge house. But compared to, like, the other women on the show that had, like, these multi-million, because her house was, like, at least a few million dollars.
Right. There but these, like, tens of millions. Yeah. I get it. She's very humble. Next person will be Edwin Dunticat. Edwin Dunticat, which.
She's a fun
She's
novelist.
A Haitian author. And I know my sister was obsessed with her.
She still is.
And you guys got to see her.
At Vladimir the, and I.
Book?
No. Yes, I've seen her several times.
Book festival?
We saw her at the book festival, and then we met her in person at the Perez Art Museum. She was doing something there, and it was Vladimir, Carla, and I. And I remember because Carla was pregnant with Fernandito and we didn't feed her. And she's like,
she got really sick.
No. It wasn't upset. She's like, guys, I need to eat. And we're just like, no, we can keep you waiting to go to the Haitian restaurant. And then she's like, and we're like, oh my God, let's go get you something to eat real quick.
She is.
No, she wasn't upset. She was just like, guys, I really need to eat. So
she only has a granola bar. She's the one who taught me that. Always have a little snack. Don't leave the house with no little snack.
But yeah, her books are similar to Toni Morrison, like in that same range where, like, almost, I remember reading, I still haven't read The Bluest Eyes, but I know in the concept of that, have you read maybe I should read The Bluest Eyes.
I started reading it, and then I rented it from the library on my phone, so if I don't read it in, like, 2-3 weeks.
It goes away. I think I'm going to do that. Those are my three books for this trip. But she has really beautiful books about just the Haitian diaspora, and when the other artist that we're going to speak about, Basquiat, came in, she was, oh, that's the reason why we met her. She was talking about Basquiat's work at the Perez Art Museum. Uh-huh. And, like, how much he influenced her in general. And just, like, being, like, because Basquiat being in that generation, and for her coming up from Haiti in the early 90s, like, really not understanding where we fit in because a lot of people just didn't really take into our culture.
Yeah, you don't see yourself.
Exactly. And so when Basquiat came to play, for her, it influenced a lot of her work.
Yeah, and I mean, if that's not what this episode's about, then, you know, I have been, I think I started reading a book or two, but that's always been, like, my sister's thing. But I think eventually I'll probably get into it a little bit more.
We can talk about Basquiat.
Oh, yeah. Basquiat, I was introduced to Basquiat. When was I introduced to him? I might have seen his work, but I didn't register it until I watched that documentary. I don't know if you remember. It was when we lived in 407. We watched that documentary, and I was like, I'm sorry. Are these the paintings that we're talking about? Like, what? Am I seeing something different? But at that time,
it still
no one
is.
Was doing anything
still
like that.
Is.
And I get it. But I also am like, okay, cool. I respect it.
I think it was more of a him. First of all, I think
he's the art.
He is the art because he came from an era where so I think his father is Haitian, his mother is Hispanic descent. And he came from New York and seeing the street art and like how art at that time was like bougie, bourgeois and all that stuff. And what's that creepy white man?
Andy Warhol.
Yes. Because he's the one, like, the reason why Basquiat became who he was because Andy Warhol was just like, oh, what is this? This is fun. Oh, let's do things together and let's make stuff together. And taking that concept, because a lot of understanding his pieces and stuff like that, for me, it's more my older age. Like, so in my, like, late 20s now. There was a documentary that a friend and I went to go see years ago. And I'm like, oh, okay. I get the hype. It's cool. It's because his artwork is just, to have one of his pieces, it's, like, amazing. It's a collectible. But it was him personally that people were after and seeking. And he died at that, like, you know.
I think he was 27.
Yeah, that age that all the artists die at.
Yeah, so, I mean, I get it. And definitely knowing that.
Did he influence your art?
Someone of Asian descent. Not, I didn't know him in time.
I think now he does, because I'm not an artist at all, by all means.
But now you're like, I can be one.
Why not? I wish, yeah. I think I showed Benji. Benji, which is our, like, 6-year-old cousin, was having this freak out because he couldn't make a robot the way that the teacher was, like, showing him how to make it. And I was like, come here. Let me show you a Bob Ross painting that I tried to do.
You were a mess.
I went and I was like, this is what this man did. Do you see how beautiful it is? This is what came up. And he looked at me. He looked at the picture. He looked at me. And he's like, okay. Like, I don't have to be. He really, like, his, like, his body just, like,
relax.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, look at this. It's magical. I've done nothing with it. And I've just stared at it. And I'm like, look at all the, I was like, what colors do you see? I put black. I put blue. There's some red in there. You don't even know. Yeah. Because it's what Bob Ross did. He influenced me. He was just like, do this, do that. And I was like, so within that, what Basquiat did, and then understanding, like, his influence and stuff like that, and art is just really subjective to the artist, because my friend, I'm so excited for her to, like, get her residency. She showed me her pieces, and it's based off of, like, her experience as a Black woman, and then her experience is, like, how politics and political things are just influenced her as being a Black woman or being a Black person here in America. And I'm really excited for people to see it, because it's like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so, I mean, Basquiat influences a lot of people, and it's interesting to know that he's of Haitian descent of some sort. So it's like, okay, these are the possibilities. Now I can see where myself and other people.
And side note, he made his art piece is one of the most expensive art piece ever purchased before the NFTs. Mm. I think it was purchased for like $2.3 or $3.2 million.
Yeah, no, not me.
I would love a piece of his artwork. I'm gonna manifest that.
To have it, it would be nice.
Yeah, to pass down to your children, because it's a really beautiful collector. Yeah, an investment.
I think the next artist I want to talk about will be, we'll put all of these together. T Vice came from Top Vice, who was around the same time as Sweet Meeky.
Ooh, wow, Top Vice! Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
They came. It was Top Vice, and they're like, "We're T Vice. We're the teenagers. We're the babies."
Oh my god!
So we're like, "Oh, the babies!
The babies!
So
that
cute.
Was yeah, that was our thing."
So I was still a kid when they were out, but I remember my sisters really being into them, and we would see them. Like, when we were in Haiti, we would see them, like, just driving and living their lives. And we're like, we just saw them. And they were at the gas station. I think they hollered at my sister. One of them was at my sister. And I was just like, oh, my God. But, yeah, it was kind of like these cool, rich kids, like, posh kids. You're getting to see kind of their lifestyle. And it was just interesting to see, because in America, all we see is, like, the Kardashians, or I mean, what was on back in the day, The Hills, things like that. Those were the rich posh kids we'd see. We never saw like a Haitian family.
It was like the 90210 era. I can't think of any other shows. Yeah, T Vice influenced me currently still to today. Their music. Didn't somebody come to Uncle Tony's house and play the guitar? It was from I remember, like, a very Haitian band.
I definitely missed that. I miss all of these.
This was, like, no, we were young. We had to have been young.
I don't remember.
But there was a Haitian man who had a guitar. And
it was Wyclef, wasn't it?
It wasn't Wyclef. It was Wyclef. I remember it was Wyclef. And he played beautiful music, and I was just like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know who this is. I'm going to go play outside.
Yeah, we're just like, whatever, we're over this. It was probably some famous.
It was guitarist. A famous Haitian. It was either, what's another band? Not that young generation. What's on Tubadu? I think he was from Tubadu, actually.
Was it from Strings?
Or Strings. He was from Strings.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That would have been amazing.
It was. He was.
I love Strings.
I haven't. Let's put this in my... I was listening to a man that shall not be named, but we can't name him. Kanye. Today when I was driving here.
I thought you were talking about this other.
No. I was saying, but you can't name him.
But we're going to name him.
Strings.
When you find it, I'm going to bring up some other artists.
Go ahead.
You were talking about Evelyn Michelle.
Oh, Evelyn Michelle. I can't go.
So I might have seen the video to that song when I was a little older. And I was like, oh, she's pretty. But I don't think I identified with, like, Haitian songstress.
That's the thing. There was a lot of women. They weren't popular because the men took over. And I think when we started this podcast, I went down this rabbit hole. This woman had like a whole like best songs, all Haitian songs that you should know. And I went down the rabbit hole and I was just like looking at her. And I was like, my mom and dad say that when I was little, I would dance to that song all the time. That was, like, one of my favorite songs. And you just see me just, like, with my diaper, just, like, twisting my hips. Because the song made me happy. And then listening to it now as an adult. So this was in 2020, actually. Was it? It doesn't matter. The words of the song was a very empowering song. Like, it was a very uplifting, like, we have the power, we can do, like, what we need, everything that we need is inside us. And then to see this magical, beautiful, chocolate woman just seeing it and just, like, dance and smile, oh, my God, I was just like, yo, in my adulthood, she's influenced me now, because I'm just like, wow, all of the work, and it really sucks, is like, in all industries, like, dark-skinned black women, so if you even look at, like, she's, like, our version, the Haitian version of India Irie, so, like, even looking at Indira Arie's, like, genre and her, like, coining or them coining the term, what was it? R&B soul or...
Neo soul.
Neo soul music. Is in that genre where she didn't push through to be, like, this hugely popular, but, like, she was still magical to a lot of people. And so that's what she was. If you have a chance, like, watch it, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring up King Fosse. Because that was my thing. There was, I think it was one person, King Posse.
I think
King Posse. No. It was King Posse. There was more than one person. Because there was Black Alex, who passed away. And there was another person. But Black Alex had this, like, raspy voice. And I think it was just stuff, like, we weren't allowed to listen to.
Six of them.
So I was just like, I want to listen to it more. And, like, my cousins from my dad's side would come and play it. I mean, listen to it, and then when my dad got home, it was like, oh, we're going to want to listen to it. But it was just such a, like, it connected us to, like, the useful side of Haiti. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that, like, we didn't see a lot of, because we were in America with our parents, and they're older. So we were in the older generation. That's why we know Sweet Mickey. That's why we know Evelyn Michelle. That's why we know all these other people. But, you know, kind of being able to expose ourselves to the youthful part, like Kaimi, we mentioned, T-Vice, there's so many others.
New Look.
Alan Cab, which is old, I think. But just those little tidbits really mattered, because it gave you it was like helping you form your, like, Haitian identity. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't just like, I listen to the Spice Girls and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and Mariah Carey and Selena. We listen to, like, a range of music, but that was very important to, like, have and mm-hmm. see. And
who else do I have on here?
We already said Pras. It was so much so that I didn't see a lot of, like, black representation that I was telling you. Like, I was like, oh, Lauryn Hill. That's going to be, like, my kind of... Like, I took to her. I liked the way she looked. I liked the way she sounded. I liked everything. And then, like, even Sade. Like, Sade's not Haitian, but I was just like, this reminds me of what I see around me. Like, mm-hmm. of the Haitian woman. Slick back hair, beautiful earrings, simple, basic beat face. those were just how I would see myself. So now we were trying to figure out, like, what do kids, or even just us as adults, what men, not mentors, but who, where do we see ourselves now in the mainstream? Who's there that we can, like,
we have the Jason Derulos with the TikTok.
And Jason Derulo
is just swinging. What is he doing? He does this, like, little thing, like a shimmy.
I don't know it. You've been watching his TikTok? I don't watch his TikTok. But I remember doing...
He's just a beautiful man.
He's a very good-looking man. He's a very good-looking man.
He's a very beautiful man.
He's a great-looking man. So... I remember finding out Jason Derulo was Haitian, and we're like, oh, look at that. Like, you know when you find out, you're like, oh, snap, that's one of ours. There's some that I'm like, oh, okay.
Like such Future.
As, I don't think Future's Haitian. I still won't accept it because I can't verify that. But, like, Kodak Black, that is not what I would, I don't see myself in him. How about that? That's where I'm going to go with that. Now there's Catriona. Like,
his parents, one of his parents is Haitian?
I believe so.
Okay.
And you brought up Jimmy Jean-Louis, who's an actor.
So you know him from, back in the day, Heroes.
You guys were big on that
He
show.
Was, he was a dark-skinned, very dark-skinned man.
He is beautiful.
Oh my gosh, gorgeous. He also played, what recent role did he play? He played in the Toussaint Louverture movie. Right. He was a main actor.
Right.
I can't think of.
The movie?
Yeah.
Some people we didn't even know were Haitian, and you wouldn't even
guess. I had no idea.
Such as, like, Eric Andre, who was in that movie, Bad Trip.
Oh, we don't talk about him.
Annoying. Or like Travie McCoy from what's that?
American. He was Katy Perry's first boyfriend.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was in that. She was in that Gym Class Heroes.
There you go.
She was in that video.
That was like my little alternative.
I really appreciate you guys, you and your sister, for putting me onto the alternative of, like.
I had no choice. I just listened to what they listened to. But I did take two. I think that was me. Gym Class Heroes, Christy wasn't into that. But I would, like, kind of be like, oh, let's take hip-hop and...
Because that was in the Gorillaz time, too.
Gorillaz was good. But back on track.
The one that surprised both of us.
Who's Blake Griffin?
He was from The Wire. No, Blake Griffin is an NFL player. I mean, NBA, wow, NBA player. See, I know my sports.
Blake Griffin is apparently Haitian, and he's an NBA player. I didn't know that, but I'm sure those who watch basketball now can see themselves in basketball and, like, being Haitian and playing basketball. That was definitely not a career path option for any of us. So the fact that
there's several successful
Haitian, name Haitian doctors, Haitian lawyers, and Haitian, like, we can name those people, but not, you know.
Oh, there was this woman, like, I know we're gonna do influencers, but there's this one woman that I follow.
Oh, the one we didn't know, was it Maxwell?
I didn't know Maxwell either.
Maxwell, it was part Haitian. I want to believe that, but
is Maxwell the one that was married to? No, that was the other one, Eric Benet. To Halle Berry. Maxwell was not married to Halle Berry. Yeah. They look very similar.
That's true. Tony Yeo is Haitian.
So I know we were talking about influencers, and I don't think you know who this woman is, but her name is Vanessa Beltic. And what she does, if you look at her, she was a dancer in a lot of hip hop videos back in the 2000s. She's a dancer and she a video girl too, but she's so amazing. Like, I enjoy watching her because she's so beautiful. There's no current picture I'm seeing her Instagram. Nope.
I think another, like, influencer that recently became famous and in the mainstream is Jessie Wu.
Oh, you love her style too.
She's like,
this is a, but yeah, she's just, I don't know what she's doing.
her face doesn't look familiar to me.
Like, she posts a lot of things, and, like, she does these, like, video things of, like, style. And I'm like, oh, Soraya would love her style, because it's very, like, the classic chic. And I was just like, she's like, my Haitian mom will be proud of me.
Like, yeah, it's like just being able to see yourself in others. It just makes it more relatable, and you're just more comfortable with yourself. I think that's very important. Whether it's Kodak Black or who else did we have next?
You have Jessie Wu, which is a comedian. She's a comedian.
There's Success Jr., who is a comedian from South Florida, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, gaining a lot of traction, and it's all based. His comedy is based on Haitian, being first generation Haitian American. We are manifesting him on this to be on the show.
Yes, we are.
But it's just like, you don't see Haitians doing these things. So when you see one, you're like, you clap. I think we're really good at that. And like, oh my god, he's Haitian.
Have you seen him? I know Vladimir has seen him.
I haven't. I think he's actually doing some shows soon, but you know, pandemic.
Don't forget about Miss Wanda. We met her at the BLN networking event. She is the creator of Le Union Suite.
Yes, so that was on there in terms of, like, nowadays you will find groups of people, or I guess people who have created groups where you can see yourself. And Miss Wanda was the Le Union Suite creator, organizer, I guess. And she's just out here literally just trying to...
Look how beautiful she is. She just has some pictures.
Into... Nice. Oh, yeah, she does have a sister. Trying to bring the mainstream to the Haitian culture. Trying to bring the Haitian culture into the mainstream.
As well as, like, combine. I think that what I'm enjoying about this generation, and we really do need to talk to people who are from Haiti or who live in Haiti currently, but it's bringing the diaspora with the Haitian community, as well as the diaspora of the Haitian community with, like, different... countries from Africa. And I think what Le Union Suite is attempting to do, from my personal opinion, is just wage that, like, that gap and, like, bring that all together.
Yeah. And, you know, I think with this podcast, we kind of just shed a little bit more light on an experience that's not talked about, that's not seen as often. You know, doing the research for, oh, who's Haitian? There weren't a lot of, you know, I guess I would say mainstream popular celebrities besides some of the ones we talked about. And it just goes to show you that there's still more work to be done. So
let's do it.
Let's do it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
That's it.
That was cute.